Today we'd like to see the title of Be Patient in James chapter 5 verses 1 to 20. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1 and verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and whole for your miseries that are coming upon you. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2 in verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it, until it received the early and late rain. What does it mean? And what can we learn from here? Question 3 in verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. What does it mean? And how can we learn from here? The book of James emphasizes faith and its consequent doing, because the doing proves the faith. In the last time of James 4:7, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Here is the non-fidence or omission not to do it according to God's word, to do good. Your violation of God's word is a sin upon whatever misfidence, non-fidence, commissions, or omission is, where God allows you to give him free will, the given talents and an open door. Revelation chapter 37, that's a cross-reference. Verse 1 in the text, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Come now, you rich people, weep and groan for your miseries which are coming upon you. In the context, God warns the rich people who oppress the least, such as the poor, the fatherless, the widow, or the alien, because they trust the richness, treasure, or money. They are not the poor people in spirit, or not the rich people to give away to the least. The riches, treasure, or money not per se evil, but the love of it is evil. When Jesus returns, it is not needed as a tool, although today's capitalism society needs it, especially money as a tool. A rich man who trusts in richness to enter the kingdom of God is harder than a camel to go through the eye of a needle, because he doesn't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So the warning to the rich man means that the misery are going to come upon you. The cross-reference right there. Verse 2. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. In the time of the early church, which was the agricultural age, not industrial age or digital age, the rich people had great barns filled with corn and grain. Your storage of corn and grain is rotten by mice, as well as your garment eaten by moth. The perishable things can't stand forever. Verse Verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. On the great white throne judgment, anyone not found written in the book of life, including the rich person who trusts in riches, not in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, ultimately is being cast into the lake of fire. Then your gold and silver are melted away against your possession, and you are going to cast into the lake of fire too. Verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You hold back the wages of the workers for your fields by intentional lie. The Lord of Sabbath has heard of their cries. God is very interested in the least people, such as the poor, fatherless, the widow, or the alien. Before the sun goes down, you shall pay the daily hired person who is poor and needy. You shall pay the wage on time without cheating. God will come near for judgment against those who exploit wage earners. So James speaks here how they hold back from the wages that are due, and how that the Lord will hear their cry. 5:2-6. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. That is the kind of wealth that James is speaking out against those who oppress the poor and have ill-gotten gains. Those will not escape God's judgment. Verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, caution to you, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rains. The patient or long-suffering is a character of agape love, the fruit of Holy Spirit. In the agricultural age of the early church, there was no irrigation system in Israel, but depended upon the rain. In the feast of first fruit, the first month, 16th Jewish calendar, lunar calendar, or around April, the latter rain comes, it refers to Jesus' resurrection. In the Feast of Trumpet on 7th month, the first, the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, the civil new year, or around October, the early rain comes. It refers to washing of regeneration, of renewing of the Holy Spirit, that is, to the power over the Holy Spirit. A farmer waits patiently for the former and the latter rain for his crops. Likewise, a Christian lives by faith, patiently, not wandering faith, for the precious reward when he or she meets the Lord, either in death or in rapture, in verse 8. Verse 8, you also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We as Christians reveal God's righteousness in the gospel of Christ by living from face to face, patiently, for the precious, not burnt, rewards when the Lord is coming near. We are one day to the close to the return of Jesus Christ than we were yesterday. Verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Grumbling, contention, or dissension is the work of the flesh against God, being subject to his judgment. And so we should live in the spirit, not in the flesh. Divine joy comes from each truly fellowship with the Father and with his Son. Jesus Christ, naturally having overflowing our relationship with the family and others. And so the grumbling, contention, or dissension causes us to lose the joy of the blessings that God has bestowed. All cross-reference right here, verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of our suffering and patience. Stephen was speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before the Jewish council. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one. They stoned him to death. Also Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or other prophets suffered, stoned, sown, slain, afflicted, tormented, and were wandered in desert, but kept the faith patiently. These are an example of suffering and patience. The cross reference right there. Verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Even if Job lost his possession, children, and health, he kept the faith in the Lord despite Satan's temptation, resulting in his spiritual experience of seeing, opening spiritual eye, seeing the Lord and his blessings and domestic animals and many children given intentionally by the Lord, who is very compassionate and merciful. The Lord forgave Job's several doubts of God. So all cross-reference right there. Verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We don't know the future, and so you should say whatever your present status. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. A character of God is honesty. How about a white lie or a lie for good? It's no room of God's character. And so to keep silent is better than to lie in such an unavoidable situation. That's an example. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Upon suffering, you may pray to the Lord, because prayer begins with the Lord. When you are joyful, praise the Lord with the songs, of which words are psalms or words of God in the scripture, from freshly heart. A song from freshly heart is called as a new song. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Jesus had three main ministries, teaching, preaching, and healing. So the prayer for the sick to be healed is an important ministry for church. The healer is always the Lord, but God doesn't heal everybody. We don't know, but that's God's business. The oil was used with the medicine to wounds and with the symbol of the Spirit of God to anoint kings. Even today, people praying, such as elders, pastors, or ministers, anoint the sick with oil as the symbol of the Spirit. Verse 15, question 3. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith means the faith of people praying, not the faith of the sick person. The Lord will raise him up, showing the healer is the Lord. If the sick person has committed sins, showing that not every sickness is caused by a sin, he will be forgiven. For example, the paralyzed whose sins were forgiven and who was risen by the Lord. The blind was healed to reveal the work of the Lord. So the blind is not caused sin. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you commit a sin, you may pray and directly confess the Lord for forgiveness. If you commit a sin against an individual, you should ask him or her to forgive you and pray for one another. If your sin affected the church, you should confess it publicly and pray for one another. The effective and fervent prayer is the honest prayer in verse 17. That is a prayer is serious because of your communication with the Lord. Verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. The sincere prayer of a man who lives by faith is answered much by the Lord, such as Elijah. Elijah's nature is like ours. Elijah had lived by faith. His prayer for no rain on the land for 3 years was answered by the Lord. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gained rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah climbed on the top of a camel, bowed down on the ground, and prayed for rain. Then it was a heavy rain, the cross reference right there. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders or errs from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he will turn a sinner from the error of his ways, will save a soul from the death, eternal death, and cover a multitude of sins. When he brings an unbeliever back to the Lord through the gospel of Christ, the unbeliever is saved from the death and is cleansed from a multitude of his sins and all his unrighteousness. Let the one bring no debt. So we covered all the questions. So you may continue to keep on prayers for all missionaries, mission field, because according to the Lord's Great Commission, teaching all nations. So wherever possible, we can there. So this is the last one. Donation is the nature. Donation is a token of where your heart, you know, to the Lord or something else. That is the main thing, not like fundraising at all. Although we do not criticize to support fundraising, so but in that way. So here, keep on prayer for them, but next year, the calendar available, the Thanksgiving gift, that's a Thanksgiving gift, always first come, first served. So Thanksgiving Committee Service, headquarters, this month, Thanksgiving week, Sunday at 3 to 4 p.m.